there's another major crisis that's about to strike the semiconductor space, and almost nobody is talking about this. Very few people are aware of it, and the only reason I'm aware of it is because I run a small data center where I'm responsible for buying and maintaining all of the server hardware, and especially the high bandwidth memory that these servers and workstations run on. We're called the ECC RDIMM memory sticks. Now, these are high bandwidth, high frequency. ECC means they have error control. These are memory sticks that are used by high-end servers that run today's high-end GPUs. Typically NVIDIA, but can also be other companies. So there's a crisis brewing right now that is going to severely impact the ability of the three primary memory manufacturers to be able to make their memory. And I'm going to tell you all about that in this podcast. So welcome, Mike Adams here, brightvideos.com, also naturalnews.com. And yes, I'm an AI developer. And yes, I apologize for the background noise. I'm in a vehicle and it's hot and we're running a bunch of air conditioning because, well, it's Texas in the summer. All right. Now, if you invest in semiconductors or if you're thinking about it, you need to hear what I'm about to say. And you can look it up and you can verify everything I'm about to share with you. So we need to start off by talking about a substance called tungsten hexafluoride. It's known as WF6. W, of course, is the elemental symbol for tungsten, so that's something to keep in mind because you're going to hear a lot more about this. So WF6, a tungsten hexafluoride, is used in semiconductor manufacturing because it has unique properties, certain insulative properties. It fills the gaps in the semiconductors. It's one of the steps in the multi-layered UV lithography that's necessary to create microprocessors, semiconductors, including high bandwidth memory. Now, you may know there are essentially three companies, although there's a fourth China-based company that's coming up, but there are three companies that essentially monopolize the memory space. That is Micron, Samsung, and SK Hynix. These companies have dominated the memory space for years, and right now, everything they can produce is already sold before they can produce it, because of the extremely high demand for high bandwidth memory due to all of the irrational investment in AI data centers. So there are trillions of dollars flowing into data centers. As a result, there are easily hundreds of billions of dollars flowing into the purchase of servers. And then the servers host the GPUs, which are made by, again, typically NVIDIA. Each of those servers has to have memory. This is memory that's separate from the GPU. It's called high bandwidth memory. And those are the RDIMMs that I talked about earlier. These memory sticks are made by those three companies, SK Hynix, Micron, and Samsung. Now, because of this extremely high demand from the data center bubble buildout, then prices for these memory modules have gone up 400% or so in the last, I think, 18 months. It may be more than 400%. Some of these price levels are truly insane. I've seen it myself when I'm trying to purchase memory. What used to cost, I don't know, $500 seems to be now like $3,000 or $4,000. Some of it's absolutely insane. And I've seen workstations listed even on Amazon at prices like $73,000 for a single workstation because it's outfitted with something like 768 gigabytes of RAM. So the RAM is becoming the single most costly component of a workstation. More than the CPU, you know, the Intel CPUs or the AMD CPUs, way more than anything else. Even in some cases, way more than the GPU. And there's no end in sight to this anytime soon for reasons that I'll mention. So remember, the RAM is the most costly component. It's necessary in all of these workstations that are running GPUs, and it's only made by essentially three companies. Now, there's a fourth company out of China, and that company is called Changxin Memory Technologies. I think it's CXMT is the symbol for that, Changxing. And Changxing is now the only competitor to those three. It's almost like a memory cartel exists out there. So Changxing is a rising competitor, and it's scaling up, but it's going to take a couple of years for Changxing to be able to meaningfully contribute to the, you know, the supply side of high bandwidth memory. So that's a little ways out there. In the meantime, you're going to be paying through the nose if you want this high bandwidth memory. Now, here's what's about to make it worse. I mentioned tungsten hexafluoride. Well, there are two companies in Japan that make 25% of the world's supply of tungsten hexafluoride, which is a very high purity gas that is created based on tungsten powder. So you start with tungsten powder, and then you have to turn this into a gas, a hexafluoride component gas with extremely high purity. I mean, like 99.999999. I don't know how many nines. It's a lot of nines. The level of purity has to be ridiculously high because we're talking about semiconductor fabrication, and any impurities would just botch the whole thing. So extremely high purity gas made from tungsten powder. So these two companies in Japan, again, they make 25% of the tungsten hexafluoride supply that is used by SK Hynix and Micron and Samsung. These two companies just sent out basically something like a force majeure letter, although they're not calling it that. I'm calling it that. They said, as of July 1st, we are ceasing all production of tungsten hexafluoride. And if you're wondering why, it's because China controls the vast majority of the world's tungsten powder market. Because you already know that China leads the world in rare earths extraction, but also tungsten is one of those elements that China has a near monopoly on. And China, in response to Trump's tariffs against China, so this is all part of the trade wars, China has cut off Japan from tungsten powder. So Japan will stop producing tungsten hexafluoride, and as a result, those memory module manufacturers will be cut off from 25% of their tungsten hexafluoride beginning in July, just next month. Now, you might wonder, well, who else makes tungsten hexafluoride other than Japan? Because Japan provided, like I said, about 25% of the supply. It turns out that South Korea makes roughly about a third of the world's supply. However, South Korea depends entirely on China for the tungsten powder. So China's tungsten powder, if we want to go up the supply chain here, China's supply of tungsten powder is about 80% of the world's supply, according to research that my AI agents conducted, which I reviewed. So about 80% of the world's supply of tungsten. There's other tungsten powder that's produced in places like Vietnam, by the way. But China controls the dominant percentage of the world supply. Here's the thing. In Vietnam, even though they can also supply some amount of tungsten powder, Vietnam can't supply any tungsten hexafluoride because Vietnam doesn't have the purification and the transition equipment to turn tungsten powder into tungsten hexafluoride with very high purity that's needed by the memory chip manufacturers, okay? So only South Korea now is going to be able to provide these memory manufacturers with some level of this because, of course, some of those memory manufacturers are Korean companies to begin with. And by the way, one of the tungsten hexafluoride producers in South Korea is a sister company of SK Hynix. So they do have some control over their own supply chain. But because of the lack of tungsten hexafluoride out of China, prices are going to skyrocket. Scarcity is going to get worse. And this all assumes that China is willing to sell tungsten powder to South Korea, which it is at the moment. But China, in any kind of trade negotiations with the United States, could take that off the table at any time, just like they did to Japan. So if you know anything about the history of China and Japan, there have been a lot of disputes, a lot of wars, a lot of fights, a lot of horrific chapters of history between China and Japan. So China has decided to punish Japan, probably because of Japan's posture of being a strong ally of the United States. And perhaps for other reasons, but that I think that's the primary reason. Whereas South Korea is being allowed to continue to purchase tungsten powder from China for the moment. But if China yanks that, then the world loses at least another one-third of the supply of tungsten hexafluoride. And of course, that would be the end of the road for a lot of, you know, high bandwidth memory manufacturing. Even the way it is right now, beginning in July, the lack of tungsten hexafluoride from Japan is going to cause prices to spike even more than they have already on high bandwidth memory. So, and it's going to reduce the ability, the output production capabilities of the other three companies I mentioned that make high bandwidth memory. So what this means is that these data centers that are out there trying to buy up literally millions of servers, they're going to run into higher and higher prices. And prices that are right now, let's say 500% increase from where they should have been, might go to 5,000%. So if I want to buy, let's say, one 32 gigabyte stick of ECC RDIMM running at a certain speed, that stick right now might cost me, let's say, $350, $400. It used to cost maybe $100 or even less, just let's say 2 years ago or roughly, give or take. That same stick is about to go to something more like or approaching more like $3,000 or $4,000 a stick, okay? Right. So if you're involved in a private sector corporation, and if you buy servers and you need this kind of high bandwidth memory, which probably you do for a server, you're going to start paying through the nose sometime later this year at price levels you have never seen before. You could buy a server for, let's say, without memory, that server might be $10,000. With the RAM in it, that server might be $60,000. Yeah. This, my friends, this is called inflation, by the way. This is what happens when there's all this money printing and all this malinvestment and all this money being shoved into a giant bubble that is causing artificially high demand with a very limited supply, combined with trade wars and the cutoff of certain materials, certain elements like tungsten upstream from China. Don't be surprised if some of these servers start to cost $50,000 plus. And I'm talking about some meager amount of memory, like 256 gigabytes of RAM. I'm not even talking, you know, a terabyte of RAM or anything crazy like that. Just 256 gigs, which is what I'm running on a lot of my systems right now, because I bought them a couple of years ago. And also, I run one generation older systems, so I don't have to buy these ultra-priced ECC RDIMM memory modules. Yeah, just as a little tip, I'm running servers that were introduced in 2021 because that's a previous generation of RAM that is way more affordable, like a fraction of the cost. And I will not be buying today's modern servers because, of course, I don't get to spend other people's money. I have to spend my own company's money. We have to make it make sense economically. So that's one of the things I do. I have to buy technology that's 5 years old. And this is the way it's going to be for years to come. Because the Changxin out of China, that new memory manufacturer, they're not going to be online for a couple of years. The switching over from tungsten hexafluoride to some other element will require about a two-year revalidation time for the fabrication plants. Because you can't just swap it out like, hey, instead of tungsten, let's use rubidium or something, you know? Which actually, that is one of the replacement elements. But you can't just say it, you know? You have to actually now revalidate it and run tests, and you have to... It's a long, drawn-out process. Minimum 18 months, more like 2 years. And then this AI investment bubble, we don't know how long this is going to last, but as long as it lasts, these prices are going to continue to be wildly inflated, okay, for this memory. And they're going to go much, much higher. So this is where we are in the world right now. We are in the middle of a bubble and a supply chain crisis caused by a trade war. And all of this traces back to Trump, because Trump's the one who launched Project Stargate and brought in all this foreign investment to build these data centers, while also punishing China with, you know, trade war weapons that have resulted in us being cut off from tungsten supplies that impact Japan, which impacts the Korean memory manufacturers. So you see what I mean? This whole thing goes full circle very, very quickly. The upshot of this is that if you've got RAM, hold on to it. And there's going to be a massive black market, or let's say secondhand market, really, a used market of older memory sticks that are not the current generation, because the price difference may eventually be 10 to 1. It's not there yet. It's more like 4 to 1 or 5 to 1, but it's probably going to 10 to 1. And like me, you might end up buying computers based on platforms that are 5 or 6 years old, because that's what's economical. It also means the GPUs themselves are going to get insanely expensive. And I just saw that the NVIDIA GPU, the 6000 Pro Blackwell, which the last one I bought, I paid $9,000 for it. Now those are $13,000. And the 5090 cards that were $2,500 are now $5,000. That's going to get way worse. So the 5090 cards, you're going to see them probably at $7,500. And you're going to see the 6000 Pros at least $20,000 by the end of this year is my guess. And that's why even Elon's orbital data center dream is nowhere near financial viability, because all those data centers in orbit also need high bandwidth memory, and all the data centers that are launching across America or that are being built require high bandwidth memory that is modern server memory, and the prices of all that are going to go completely insane. Which means that the ROI, the investment payoff period, will be extended many years in the future. As a result of all of this, the business model of these AI data centers looks even less viable than it did before. And it already looked horrific. Like, what is their business model? Other than just spending money, because that's not a business. Although Michael Saylor thinks that's a business on Bitcoin, but it actually isn't. So just spending other people's money is not a business model. Eventually, you have to sell a product or service that people are willing to buy, and you have to earn a profit doing so. Based on what I just mentioned here, I do not see any viable path to profitability for these data centers in the United States. Do you? And in the meantime, the rest of us in the private sector, who are the actual producers in society, we're the ones actually getting things done, building things, making things. You know, like my company makes lab-tested, storable, high-quality foods and superfoods and nutritional supplements, all mass spec tested, you know, healthrangerstore.com. If you want to check that out, we ship real products to people. But because of what's happening, we are going to have to pay through the nose for the computing hardware that we need in order to keep running our AI platforms like brightlearn.ai or brightanswers.ai, etc. Fortunately, I'm very good at saving money on expenditures. Like I said, I'll just buy computers that are 5 years old and I'll save a fortune because I'm not spending government money or investor money. You see what I mean? So you might want to do the same thing. If you're going to buy systems, you need to look at really legacy server hardware at this point. But I'll do another podcast on that, give you more tips. Thanks for listening. If you want to hear more of my podcasts, you can hear them at brightvideos.com, and you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening. Take care. Right now, more than ever, it's critical to eliminate counterparty risk. That's my belief, and don't take this as financial advice, because I'm not your financial advisor, but when you want physical gold and silver in your hands, or vaulted, professionally vaulted, insured, high security vault, etc., that eliminates that counterparty risk, which I think is
an extreme risk right now. I think banks are going to fail and we're going to have bank bail-ins. The currency is failing every day, you know, kind of little by little because of all the money printing and the valuation erosion that's accelerating. Also because of what's happening in the Middle East, more and more countries are agreeing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the only way that treasury yields are kept low is by the Fed printing money and buying our own debt, because there aren't enough international buyers to buy our debt anymore. So our country's like a snake eating its own tail financially. It's buying its own debt, and this is going to end badly. And when it does, in my opinion, those who hold dollars, even in bank accounts or in the stock market or whatever, they're going to be devastated by the losses. Gold and silver are the best way, in my opinion, to preserve your assets and make it through the coming storm. And the best place to get gold and silver is a company I've been working with, the original founders of the group, for 6 or 7 years now. Today it's called Battalion Metals, and you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And the reason it's called Battalion Metals now is because they did a joint venture with Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson is the co-founder of Battalion Metals. It's the same group I've worked with for years. And let me tell you about these people. They are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul type of people. They respect your privacy. They understand the importance of your security, your privacy, and the importance of giving you gold and silver at the best possible competitive prices. So there's no bait and switch. There's no, you know, rigging. There's no weird coins like, here, have this 1.5 ounce thing that nobody knows what it is. They don't play games, otherwise I wouldn't promote them. This is the same company, metalswithmike.com, Battalion Metals. This is the same group that I recommend to my family, to my friends, and that I use myself. And I stack gold and silver every month, just a certain amount every month, and I have it vaulted with their vaults because I know I can trust them, because they're professionals. They're high integrity people. They're not fly by night. They are the kind of people that you can trust. Again, otherwise, I wouldn't even be associated with them. So when you want to get gold and silver in your hands and eliminate that counterparty risk, this is the way to do it. Just go to metalswithmike.com. You can see the prices right there online in real time at Battalion Metals, or you can schedule a call with them. Just use this button right here, schedule a call. And they are trustworthy, high integrity, knowledgeable people who can help you devise a strategy that's suitable for you. Just remember, I'm not your financial advisor. I can't give you an investment strategy personalized for you. You need to do that yourself with your own advisors. You can talk with Battalion Metals, and they can help give you a lot of information and some planning as well. But make the best decision for you, and you're going to make it through this. You'll make it through the storm, even as other people lose the value of their dollars or their other investments. Gold and silver will make it through. And right now, in my opinion, gold and silver are still at an incredible buying opportunity in terms of price compared to where they're going to be represented in dollars in the near future. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Do what's best for you. And check it all out at metalswithmike.com. So thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.